The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Nosei. Now since this is right after Shavuos, I'd like to spend this evening speaking further on Milas HaTorah, the Madregas of Torah, the level of Torah, and dwell on a Mishnah Masechet Olos, Perek Hamishi, Mishnah Chof Beis. Ben Bagbag says, Hafeich Bo, V'Hafeich Bo D'Kulabo. Turn it over and turn it over again. He's referring to the study of Torah. The Kulabo, because everything is contained in it. Uva techesi v'siv. And you shall look into it deeply. The Maral says techesi is, it shall be your entire interest, occupation and enjoyment. Uvala ba, and grow old over it. Uminale sezua, and do not depart from the study of the Torah. She'ein loch midatove himeno, because there is no greater attribute. Ben hehe omer, ben hehe says, agro. The reward is in accordance to one's suffering, to the difficulty. This Mishnah is the last Mishnah of Masechet Ovish. The Masechet Ovish, we have six parakim, six chapters. But five parakim, the five chapters belong to the Masechta. The sixth chapter is not part of the actual Masechta Ovei, is not part of the actual part of Ethics of the Fathers. The sixth chapter, which follows this, starts Shonu Chachomim B'Shein HaMishnah, that the Chachomim taught in the language of the Mishnah, and then it starts with Remeir Eimer, and these are what is known as Braishos. This is a Braisho, additions and elaborations to Masechet Ovos. So the Masechet Ovos is five chapters. This is the final Mishnah. Now we can ask a number of questions on this Mishnah. Firstly, if this is the final Mishnah of Masechet Ovos, so why do we conclude the Masechta? Why do we conclude the tractate with this particular Mishnah? Secondly, what does this Mishnah in particular have to do with the Mishnais, with the teachings which immediately precede it? The Mishnah which deals with this right before is Shmuel HaKotneimer. Ben Chomei Shonim LaMikra, Ben Asel Mishnah, where Shmuel HaKotn designs, spells out the cycle of a person's life. When he's 5 years old, he should study Mikra Chumash, 10 years old Mishnah, and he goes all the way up until he's 100 years old, Ben Meir Kilomeis V'Ovar HaBotel Min Ha'ilam. When he's 100 years old, it's as if he's already dead and has passed on from this world. The Mishnah which precedes that is Yehuda ben Tema Aymer. Yehuda ben Tema said, Havi askinomer kalkinesher, you should be as courageous as a leopard and as light as an eagle, rotzkitzvi, as quick as a deer, gibor kari, as strong as a lion, lasei sotzein avicha shebishamayim, to fulfill the will of the Almighty. Those are the two preceding Mishnais. What does it have to do now with this final Mishnah? that you should turn it over and turn it over, that everything is contained in it, do not depart from it, and so forth, and the reward is in accordance to the difficulty. So that's the second question. The third question is, this Mishnah is not written in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. This Mishnah is written in Targum, in Mishnais, in Aramis. Targum, Aramis is a, a special, specific language, Aramaic. All of the Mishnais, not only of Masechet Obeis, of Ethics of the Fathers, but all of the Mishnais are written in Lashon HaKodesh, are written in Hebrew. The Talmud, the Gemara, is written in Targum, Aramis. So now the question is, why is this Mishnah a Yotze Min HaKlal? It's a deviation from the rule, and it's written in Aramis, in Aramaic. This was a Babylonian tongue. Another question. The names of these two Tanoim, of these who are teaching us the Mishnah, are very strange names. One's name is Ben Bagbag, the other Ben Hehe. These are not the normal names at all. What is the significance of these names? A further question. The Rashbam, this was one of the Balei Teshuvos, he brings in the name of his uncle, Rabbeinu Yitzchok Bar Osher, where he says that Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe were Gerim. They were converts. Now this itself is a question. If they were converts, why do we conclude the Mishnah with their teachings? So we have a number of questions here. Let me just repeat them. Since this is the concluding Mishnah of the entire Masecht, of the entire tractate, so why do we conclude it with this particular Mishnah? Secondly, what relationship does this Mishnah have with the preceding Mishnais? Thirdly, what does it mean, hafeich by hafeich by the kulabah, that you should turn it over and turn it over, that everything is contained in it? Further, why is this Mishnah written in Targum, in Aramis, which is an exception to all of the Mishnais, not only in this Masechta, but in every Masechta? What is the significance of these names, Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe? And according to the Rashbam, who heard from his uncle, Rabbeinu Yitzchok Bar Osher, that these two Tanoim, these two rabbis, were gaining converts, why is it that they, their teachings conclude this entire Masechta? I'd like to explain this in accordance to the Pirish of the Maral, the commentary of the Maral. Firstly, he writes, the fact that Masechta Oves, we call it Ethics of the Fathers, has five prokim, five chapters, is not coincidental. It has five chapters because it's styled after the Chumshei Torah, after the five books of Moshe. And it is something which is complementary to Torah. How? Toras Moshe, that's the Sefer Torah of the Madreges HaTorah and the Taryag Mitzvahs. That's what is known as Torah, and our 613 mitzvahs. Masechet Aveis is what we call Divrei Mushar, ethics. The Maral lumps this all under one title, Derech Eretz. He says that Masechet Aveis is Derech Eretz. It is true, sometimes you'll find some Divrei Torah in it, but that's Agav Groro, that's brought in an incidental manner. But the teachings are that of Mushar, of Derech Eretz, how a person should conduct himself on this world. The reason why it has five chapters, like the Heichum Shei Torah, and it also starts in a similar manner, because the Torah starts with the Seder HaDoros. Kodesh Baruch Hu says he created Odom, and then it lists off all of the 10 generations afterwards. Then Nayach, and it lists off all of the 10 generations afterwards. The order of the generations, all this also begins. Meshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, Umasara Yeshua, Yeshua Lizkenim, also deals with the Seder HaDoros, the chain of the generations. So why is it styled in a similar manner? Because it's a twin, it's compatible. Because we learn, Imein Torah Ein Derech Eretz, Imein Derech Eretz Ein Torah. A person must have both teachings. We've given shurim, long shurim, on what the insight of Derech Eretz is. That we're not going to dwell on this evening. But Torah is the level beyond this world. Derech Eretz is the guidelines how a person should conduct himself in this world. And since he lives in this world, but still he was given a neshama mimal, he was given a spirit from above, so he has to have the foundation of Derech Eretz. That's why Derech Eretz, he made Derech Eretz Ein Torah. If there's no Derech Eretz, there can't be Torah to build on it. On the other hand, he made Torah Ein Derech Eretz. If he has the Derech Eretz alone, how to conduct himself in this world, he's not fulfilling his neshama mimal. He's fulfilling that he was made ofer min adoma, but so was a behema, an animal made from the dust of the earth. That's why we need both, and both are compatible, they're twin, both are twin. Now, if we look carefully, we will notice, however, that even though Masechet Aveis is basically the Sefer Derech Eretz, its first Mishnah and its last Mishnah deals specifically with Torah. What was the first Mishnah? The first Mishnah was, after we trace the generations of the Maseiros, of the handing down of the Torah from Moshe to Yeshua to the Zkenim, it goes eventually to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, to the men of the Great Assembly, the Great Sanhedrin. Vehim Amru Gimel Dvorim, and they said three things, they taught three things. This is what the first Mishnah tells us. What did they teach us? Have you Masunim Bedin? That when you give judgment, when the court, the Sanhedrin, the Dayonim, judges give judgment, they must deliberate very, very carefully because of the greatness and the depth of the Deen of the Torah. Vahamidu Talmidim Harbe. They should teach a multitude of students of the Torah, the Asu Siyaglu Torah, and they should make protective barriers around the laws of the Torah. Now that Mishnah is dealing exclusively with Torah. And the last Mishnah, also, what we just learned, is dealing exclusively with Torah. Hafeich ba'afeich to the kulubah. Turn it over and over because everything isn't contained in it. And do not depart from it. And the reward of the Torah is in accordance to its difficulties and sufferings for it. So, in this Sefer Derech Eretz, to show how compatible and how inseparable. It is from Torah. So the Tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, began it with a mission of Torah and began and ended it with a mission of Torah. So that's why the concluding Mishnah deals with the level of Torah. That answers one of our questions as to why did they choose to conclude with this particular Mishnah. The proximity, the significance of the proximity of this Mishnah to the preceding Mishnahs is as follows. Because Yehuda ben Tamar he was speaking about avoda bechlal, about the how one should approach the fulfillment of the rotzin shel avinu shebashamayim. One should approach the fulfilling of the will of Hashem. He must approach it with a great courage, with great speed, with great lightness, like an eagle, zrizus, and so forth. So he was referring to the approach to mitzvahs in general. This was like a summary. One's approach to all mitzvahs. And then Shmuel HaKotan concluded by giving a totality of life cycle. A person is born, there's a time and a place for everything. When he's 5, he should start learning Chumash. When he's 10, he should start learning Mishnah. And so forth. Until he's 100 years old, he has completed life cycle. And he's ki'ilu meis ma'ovar abotu min ha'ilam. And it's as if he's died and he's already passed on. So again, they were speaking about generalities, how to approach all mitzvahs in general, and a totality of life cycle, from a birth until the person passes on from this world. Now, what Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehi is telling us is there is a level even beyond this. There is a level even beyond this. And that's the level of Torah. Because Torah is beyond all mitzvahs, like we brought in the past Shiurim, ki mener mitzvah v'torah or, a mitzvah is like a candle, but the Torah is like unending light, unlimited light. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo yishba, lo yishvu bo, kol chafotzecho, kol chafetzim. Eina shove dover echod, eina shove kol ha'elam kula le dover echod shel Torah. That it's more dear to me, one statement of Torah that you learn, than everything else in the world, including my mitzvahs. This is what the sages teach. So therefore, after we have learned how to approach life and a general strategy how to approach all mitzvahs and a totality in life cycle, now Ben Bagbag comes and tells us there's something higher than that. Higher than all of the mitzvahs is the Torah, study of the Torah itself. And Ben Hay adds, and higher than everything else is the reward of the study of Torah. Lefum tzara agra. The reward of the study of the Torah. And if it's difficult, then there's more reward. So don't become discouraged if it's difficult. And this is higher than everything else. Why? Because Chai Mitzvah B'Hayal Maleko. That reward is so great, this world cannot behold it. So therefore, this is beyond the world. Mitzvahs are a part of this world. Derech Eretz is certainly this world. But even mitzvahs are this world, because you can only fulfill them physically. But the level of Torah and its reward is far beyond this world. And further, that's beyond life cycle. Shmuel HaKotan said that from 5 years old till 100 years old, there's a built-in life cycle. But what happens at 100 years old? If someone does live that long, kilomes, it's as if he's dead. Ubotl, over a bottle min ilam, is already passed on from the world. Ben hei is telling us, that's the physical world. But through the schar, through the reward that one has, and in particular through the reward of the study of Torah, that he never dies from. That he is never Ovar Ubatl Mina Olam. That he lives forever with. Because death is physical, while the reward of the Torah is beyond the physical world. So that is the relationships of what these people are telling us in regards to the why at the end of the Sefer and in regards to the two previous Mishnais. Now, what did they tell us? He says, Vathaychbay de Kulabo. Turn it over and turn it over and over, because everything is contained in it. What does it mean that everything is contained in Torah? There are two psukim in Sefer Mishle, which are very, very important psukim, amongst all of the important ones. And it's in Mishle Perches, Pasuk Chof Beis, and then Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Chof Beis, it states, Hashem kononi reishis darkai, kedem mif'olav me'oz. The Torah exclaims, Bora esi liyais kanuye lei bitchilas habriya, kedem masov kfar mizmanrav. The Torah declares, Hashem kononi reishis darkai. Hashem created me and acquired me. Reishis darkai, before the reishis, before the creation of the world, before the bereishis bara elokim. Kedem mifolav me'oz, harbe zman kodem, a long time before. So the Torah is exclaiming, this is on Mishle Ches Posachov Beis, the Torah is exclaiming that I was created and I became a kinyan, an acquisition to Hashem, not only before you were born, but long before the world was created. Hashem kononi reishis darkai, kedem mifolav me'oz. Actually, the Gemara tells us that the exact calculation was Tov Tov Kuf Ayin Dalet Deiris, 974 generations before the creation of the world. Because the Torah was created 1,000 generations before it was given. And it was given on the 26th generation of the world. That was the giving of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu. At any rate, this is one thing that the Torah exclaims. Then in Pasuk Lamed, the Torah says further, Va'eya etzlei omein. Ve'eye shashuim yom yom misachekes lefonav b'chol eish. I was etzlei, I was by HaKadosh Baruch Hu an Amon. It's like a small child, a small daughter being brought up by the Almighty. Omein, by Omein es Adaso. Omein means to bring someone up. You have a child, you bring him up. Omon, I was brought up by Hashem. Ve'yeshashuim yom yom. And I was his joy every day. Every day I was his great joy. Mishachekes lefonav b'chol eish. And I would bring him shchek and simcha. We would play together all of the time. This is what the Torah declares. HaTorah emeres shoyisi migudeles etzlo yizborach. Torah says that I was brought up by the Almighty a long time ago. And I was his great joy every day. And every day I would bring shchek and simcha. I would bring happiness and playfulness in front of him. Like a daughter, which is very, a small daughter, which is very beloved to her father. So that's the second pasuk. What do these mean? The Medrash brings, Medrash Rabbah, Breishis Rabbah, right at the beginning of the Medrash. The Medrash brings the simple meaning, like we said. And then it says another Pirush in Omon. Omon means someone who was brought up by a mother or a father or an older person. And Omon also means Uman. Uman is your artesian. HaTorah emeres ani hoyisi kli umanusai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah exclaims eyetz etzlei Amon, that I was the tool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the word uman, an artesian, I was the tool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he created the world. B'nayik sheba'aylon melech bosav adom b'ne plotin e'ne v'ne isu midas atzmai ela midas uman. The general practice is that when a king wants to build a palace, he doesn't build it himself, but he goes to a great artesian. And the woman himself doesn't build it himself. He goes to an architect. He has the architect design for him all of the plans, all of the detailed descriptions. Heyaychu eisei chadorim. How will he make and construct the rooms? Heyaychu eisei pishposhin. How will he construct the corridors and so forth? Kacho ya kodesh baruch hu. So veheya amon etzlei ani hoya kli umnosai. I was the plan which HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted when he created the Torah. when he created the world. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He would look into the Torah and he would create the world. And the Torah therefore exclaims, Bereishis bara Elokim. Bereishis means the Torah. He created the world from the Torah, as it states, Hashem kononi reishis darkai. I was created to Hashem long before the world. This means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah. And from the Torah, he created the world. This was his plan on how to design the world. Actually, Chazal tell us that when the Almighty created the world, he did this through the Tziruf Aishias HaKdeshim Shel HaTorah HaKdoshah. He did this through the combinations, specific combinations of the letters of the Torah. This is how he created all facets of the world. Well, this is what it means. The Torah was the ultimate source and blueprint, and he took the letters, and from there he created the world. Now, if this is the case, then everything in the world has to be contained in the plan. You can't build a building from a blueprint and have something in the building that's not in the blueprint. Therefore, Ibn Bagbag says, "Hafeichbo ve'hafeichbo dekulabo." Turn it over and over. Turn it over and over, dekulabo. Because you will find everything in it. There can be nothing in our world that is not in the blueprint. This means if someone was very, very wise, he could look into the Torah, and from the Torah, he could understand all of the secrets of the physical world. Fact is, it states that by Avram Avinu, Avram was so wise, he never had Torah. He grew up in a place where there were no Talmidei Chachamim, no yeshivas. Everyone were idolaters. Ba'afilo Aviv Haya, Eved Avedei Zor, his father also was idolater. So the Chazal asked, how did he come to? Said he knew all the Torah, he understood all the mitzvahs before it was given. He tackled the bira, ahoya makir as balabira. He studied the universe, and he studied it with such wisdom and such depth. The Rambam calls him a giant of the intellect, and a giant of the spirit. That from the world, he came to the plan. For example, if you would have a master builder, he could study a building and from there produce the plans that produce the building. This is how Avraham came to understand the Torah and its mitzvahs. We are not wise enough even to study the plan and from there understand everything that's in the world. But if someone was wise enough, he would be able to do it. Nevertheless, this does not reduce or minimize the level of the Torah that we study. Whether we understand all of the depths of the Torah or whether we do not understand it, we are still studying the Torah that's at the level of Kulabo, which contains everything. And this is why Ibn Bagbag says, turn it over and over, because there is nothing in this world that is not contained in it. And this should be your entire desire and enjoyment, and never depart, grow old over it and never depart from it, because there is nothing better. Why does he say hafeichpa, hafeichpa? Why does he repeat himself and say turn it over and turn it over? To tell you that not when you turn it over once, then something will come out of it. But even when you take the same divrei Torah and you've already turned it over and you've already found new concepts in it, new insights, you turn it over again and you'll find further insights and further concepts. And even in the concept which you have found, you will find further insights. In other words, it's infinite. It's endless. That's why he said, hafeichpa vehafeichpa, turn it over again and turn it over again. This is why the Chazal, the sages, were so demanding of revision, of Chazorah. It says, Ein edeme mi shalemeid dover echod mea pomim. Lemi shalemeid dover echod mea beechod pomim. You cannot compare someone who has learned something 100 times to someone who has learned something 101 times. Now this is only by Torah, because everything else is limited. You study something in secular wisdom, there's a point where you come where you know it perfectly. So it's not, you're not going to know it any better by going it over and over and over. But if Torah contains everything, that means it's infinite. So the more you go over it, the more you will take out of it. And this is why the Chazal tell us, this is very important, Ein Beis HaMedrash Belei Chidush. There is no Beis HaMedrash without a Chidush. And a Chidush means something that you didn't know before. Sometimes a chidush means the Gemara says something that no person has ever said before. No one revealed it before until this generation. That's a great chidush. But a chidush means something that you were not aware of before. And therefore the Gemara says that many times we're lax about coming to a Beis HaMedrash, coming to a shiur. There's a shiur, well, I won't come today. I'll come tomorrow. I'll hear it another time. Mora says, Le'aylam almone es atzmecho bilelech al Beis HaMedrash. Never refrain from going to a Beis HaMedrash. She'ein Beis HaMedrash b'lei chidush. Because there is no Beis HaMedrash where chidushim will not be said. That's in line with what Ben Bagbag says. Now the question is, why did they teach this in Loshon Arami, in this Aramaic language? Banal says a klal, a rule. He says in a number of places, there are 70 nations Kodesh Baruch Hu created, and Yisrael. And Am Echad, that's Yisrael. To each of the original 70 nations, he gave a tongue, a language. So these are the original 70 languages. If we find today more than 70 languages, these are just combinations of the original 70. And there's Loshon HaKodesh, Hebrew language. Loshon HaKodesh, this is Yisrael's tongue. Now, what is Aramaic, Aramish, what we call Targum? And this is a special language. He rejects what some say, that we find certain tefillahs in certain areas of Torah, like the Gemara written in Aramish, because this was the people's tongue. He rejects that b'shtei yadayim. He says that's totally false. He says the proof of that is because the Talmud Bavli is written in Aramis, but the Talmud Yishalmi also is. But Talmud that was created in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, under Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, but it's also written in Aramis, in an Aramaic. And there the people didn't speak Aramaic. So what is Aramis? He says Aramis is neither one of the 70 languages, nor is it Loshon HaKodesh. It's a Loshon HaKol El HaKol. It's an all-encompassing language which encompasses all of the languages. And the 70 languages were for this world. And even the Loshon HaKodesh was for this world. As we see that it states that HaKodesh Baruch Hu created this world with Loshon HaKodesh. So they all have a joiner, they all have a connection with this world. But the Aramis, the Targum, which is encompasses all the languages. Incidentally, he says that's the Loshon Kol of Israel. That's the more secular language of Israel. The Loshon HaKodesh was the Loshon HaKadusha, and the Aramis was more of their secular language, their secular tongue. But he says that, which is Kol El HaKol, that is a language which encompasses not only this world, but the upper worlds also. He says that's why you'll find that the tefillos that speak of the upper worlds are in Aramis. For example, the Kaddish, Yesh Mei Rabo Mevorach Le'olam Olamei Olmayo. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be praised in all three worlds, this world and in the middle world and the next world. That's why it's in Loshon Aramis. The Gemara brings that the Malachim, the angels, understand all of the languages, except they do not understand Aramis, because that's above them. And that's why the Gemara brings that when we say special shiras, when we say special praises to Hashem, which really belongs to the angels, we say it in Aramis, besides the fact of its height, but so they shouldn't understand it. At any rate, this is a little about Aramis. Now, the Torah Shebiktav, the written law, that's in Loshon HaKodesh. The Mishnah is also written in Loshon HaKodesh, in the Hebrew language. It's written basically in a pure Hebrew. The reason for this is the Mishnah is exact. What was the purpose of the Mishnah? To write down exact principles and rules and categories. To catalog, to categorize the entire Talmud. This was the purpose of the Mishnah. And since it's an exacting wisdom, it's written in Loshon HaKodesh. But the Gemara, which is the explanation, the timing advarim, the elaboration, the understanding of the Mishnah and of the Torah Shebiktav, that cannot be something which is exact, because that's infinite, that's endless. We can't say that there are so many this and so many of that, and this is it and that's it. That's endless. Therefore, it's written in Aramis, which is a language also which is not limited, but which is a language which is unlimited. Now, he writes, therefore, this last Mishnah, which is a Mishnah, and it should have been written in Loshon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, but since they're coming to praise the level of the Torah, and what are they telling us about the Torah? That HaKol Bay, HaFeich Bay, the Kulabo, that the Torah is endless, it's infinite, it contains everything. Therefore, they wrote this in Loshon Aramis, in the language which also is unlimited and contains everything. Now Now let's go to the we asked, what is the significance of these names, Ben-Bagbag and Ben-Hehe? Bamun, he brings from his uncle that these two Tanoim, these two scholars, were Gerim, converts. He writes, he says, that's the significance of their names, because the letter He, the Hebrew letter He, is a letter which is specifically used for Gerim, for converts. And Bagbag is Beis Gimel. Beis Gimel is the numerical value of Hey, a 5. And Ben Hey Hey, that's the letter Hey. He doesn't explain why Hey is a letter which is specifically used for Gerim, but he brings a proof to it from Avraham and Sarah. Because Avraham's name was Avram, and Sarah's name was Sarai. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them into Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of Yisrael, and that was their Gerush, this was right after the Bris Milah of Avraham, so he said, your name is no longer Avram, it's Avraham. He added a hey to his name. And Sarai is no longer Sarai, but Sarah. He added a hey to her name. So we see that Hey is a name which is used for Gerim. The Maral explains why. Why is Hey used for Gerim? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created him Ofer min Adam, from the dust of the earth, and then Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chai. He blew into his nostrils Nishmas Chai, a living soul. Now, we refer to a soul as a neshama. We refer to breath as a neshama, neshima. Because it came into us through breath. It says, Vayipach ba'apov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils. And it's the air, the breathing that keeps a person alive. Physically, and the neshama came in through breath. And the Chazal tell us that's why the neshama goes out with breath. The last breath a person takes of his lifetime, the neshama also leaves. So this all came through the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says there is no letter in the Hebrew alphabet that is a letter which describes the breath more than a hey. Because when one pronounces the hey, it's actually what he's doing is blowing his breath out. Hey. He has to open his mouth and blow his breath out. And what is gerush? What is conversion? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows into the nostrils of a person a new, an additional dimension of life and spirituality. An additional dimension of spirit and neshama. That's why when Abraham and Sarah came to this level, he gave them an additional dimension of neshama, of spirituality. He gave them the letter He. And these two Tanoim, these two scholars, they were the children of Gerim. Their names were Ben-Bagbag, Beis Gimel adds up to He, 5, or Ben-Hehe. And now we come to the final point. We asked, why is it, here we're concluding the Masechta Ovis, the entire Ovis. Usually when you conclude something, you mechabit someone for it. You call in, it's a special kovet, a special honor. You give someone the honor to conclude it. So here we're concluding the entire Masechta Ovis. Why do we particularly give the honor to two gerim, to two converts, to conclude the Masechta? And here the Maral says something very deep, very profound. What do we want to explain here? Shvach HaTorah, the greatness of Torah. Hafeichbo, dekulebo. Turn it over and over and over, because everything that there is in the world is contained in it, because the world came from it. And there is nothing like it, therefore never depart from it. And it should be your whole preoccupation, and so forth and so on. So they're coming to speak of Shvach HaTorah. He writes, there's no greater Shvach HaTorah, there's no greater praise to Torah than the fact that there can be gerim, there can be converts. Because converts is something which is very difficult to understand. The nations of the world have no chelik in the Torah. They do not have Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. So how is it that someone comes from the nations of the world and they become Israel? Or, for example, we could say, he doesn't mention this here, but I believe he might mention it in another, I think he mentions it in another place. He says, you know, conversion we find only by Israel. We don't find it by others. If you want to become a Chinaman, you cannot become a Chinaman. You cannot become a Japanese. Politically, you could, perhaps. You become a Chinese resident. They might give you a passport. But you never become a Chinaman. So how is it that other people from other nations, it says Armeni, Armeni cannot become Moavi, and Moavi cannot become Armeni. So how is it that by, you can't change your nation, your nation of birth? This is something that's given to a person by birth and who he's born from. And how is it then, by Israel, which should be the most exclusive nation, Kodesh Baruch Hu separated us from all of the nations, so we are the exclusive nation. All of a sudden, anybody that wants to come and he wants to do this and do this and do that becomes Israel, becomes a Jew. How is this? So Maral says the answer is very simple. Everything everybody, everything, every wisdom, every charter has its limitations. Since it has its limitations, it cannot be all encompassing. So it has exclusiveness. This is a Greek club, this is a Swedish club, and finished. This is an English club. Torah cannot have exclusiveness. Exclusiveness is a liability. It's a limitation. If Torah is all-encompassing, afeichba dekulebo, everything is in it, then it has to be all-encompassing. Then it has to be limitless. If it's limitless, it has to be able to encompass all of the nations of the world, and more. So how can you say that Torah is exclusive for one nation? That's a limitation in the essence of Torah. I, you might ask, but the nations of the world, we see they have no portion in Torah. That's not from the Torah's aspect. That's from their aspect. It states, Hashem is Sinai Bo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Israel, he was coming from somewhere. And the Medrash asked, where was he coming from? Chazar Eitzel Kol HaUmos, he went to all of the nations to ask them if they want his Torah. He went to Esav, and Esav says, what's written in it? You shall not kill. He says, no, I can't accept it. Went to Ishmael. Ishmael said, what's written in it? You shall not steal. He says, I cannot accept it. Torah was given to all of the nations and even more. It encompasses the whole world and more. This set of nations do not have Torah, that's from their problem, not from the Torah's problem, because they refused to accept it. They rejected it. Israel didn't reject it. Therefore, if you have any member of any nation in the world and he wants Torah, then he can have Torah. He can become a member. How? This is the concept, this is the principle of Gerus. And that's why you only find it by Israel, and you only find it by Torah, and you do not find it by other nations. Because the other nations are all limited. And therefore, this is the greatest Shvach HaTorah. This is the greatest praise to Torah. The principle of Gerus. To show that there are no limitations to it. Therefore, they were chosen to be Messiah, to conclude the Sefer, because we were concluding the Sefer by showing Shvach HaTorah, the lack of limitations to the level of Torah. And therefore, one spoke of the Torah itself that contains everything and more, and the other spoke of the unending reward for Torah. So this answers all of the questions that we asked. We perhaps could add one point relative to Shavuos that we just had, the Chag HaShavuos. And that is, it's traditional that we read Megillas Rush, the Book of Ruth on Shavuos. And the question is asked, why? What does that have to do with Shavuos? And it's somewhat obscure. There are various answers given. According to what we said, we could say a very good answer. Because Shavuos is the time of Matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah. And we praise the Torah, Shvach HaTorah, we speak of the great levels of the Torah. And Rus is the book of Gerim. Rus is the book that we have, which tells the story of Gerus, of one coming, and yet one coming from a hated nation, Moab, from the hated nation, and rising to the greatest heights in Israel, to the point where she became Imo Shel Malchus. She became the motherhood of kingship and royalty in Israel. How is this possible? This is the greatest Shvach HaTorah. This is the greatest praise of Torah. To show that the Torah is all-encompassing, and therefore there can be no limitations. And it would come out very good, because when Torah was given in Parshas Yisra and Har Sinai, right before it is the Parsha of Gerim. There it speaks of Yisro coming to be Megayer. And on Shavuos, where we celebrate the giving of the Torah, we celebrate it with reading the Sefer Rush, Parsha of Gerim. And here, by Masechta Ovis, where we conclude the Sefer, which is the twin Sefer of Torah, Derech Eretzim Torah, and we want to conclude it with the Shvach HaTorah, with the praise of Torah, we conclude it with the two Gerim, Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe. This would be a very good interpretation in why we read Rus on Shavuos. So this tells us the explanation in this Mishnah, very profound explanation from the Maral, and from here we can understand what the greatness of Torah is. Incidentally, he writes, he says that if people would understand, Jews would understand the greatness of the Torah, he says they would learn how to value the study of the Torah, what every word can mean. When the Chazal says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that that Dover Echod Kol Dover Sheba Eilam in a Shoveli Le Dover Echod Shel Torah. My whole world, he says, one statement of Torah, they would learn how to value what that Torah is. And he says, and certainly, he says, you wouldn't find them spending their years pursuing wisdoms and other studies, he said, that in no way can compare to the greatness of Torah. We should be Zeicher. We just had the Kabbalah Satera. We should be Zeicher to learn and grow in Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.